Ladies and gentlemen, very, very good morning. Warm welcome to Glasgow, to the Technology and Innovation Centre, and to the third host city. Our meeting of cities with cross-sector events and suppliers. I think we've got 200 very welcome guests from 25 countries coming today to meet and to listen to 30-plus very high-quality speakers, and very keen to get things going. Firstly, a quick announcement. We're going to geoclone this conference, launching Host City Asia on May the 16th and 17th in Beijing, going back to where I first launched Host City as a Chinese magazine in 2003, which when we helped to bring in Western companies and know-how to the Beijing Olympics. We've run a business media in China, a media business in China ever since, and I've continued to visit Beijing monthly or bi-monthly, and I remain extremely focused on the emergence of China. It's so important. I'm convinced it's the story of our age, eclipsing anything else that's going on, even at the moment. And I do encourage as many of you as possible to come out to Host City Asia, come and get some exposure to the gigantuan opportunities of the China city events market and more broadly of the Asian city events market. We'll continue to run this Host City conference in the third week of November in Europe, and these two will coexist as sister events. We are delighted to be back in this fabulous Technology and Innovation Centre. It's full of such excellent content from the moment that you enter. We organise events all around the world, and for my team and I, this is by far our favourite venue to be. So thank you very much, Jim, for having us back. And I'm delighted to now reintroduce you to Professor Sir Jim McDonald, who is, amongst many other positions, the Principal and the Vice-Chancellor of Strathclyde University.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And with that warm welcome from Matthew, I suddenly realised we must have given him an enormous discount for the hosting of this event, and I'm sure it was worth every penny. But anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you here in Glasgow. For those of you that haven't been here before, you know that this is unseasonably cold. The average temperature at this time of the year is normally about 18 degrees centigrade. So please put up with the cold winds for the next couple of days, and the weather might pick up later in the week. The Technology and Innovation Centre has been open for just over a year and a half now. We had Her Majesty the Queen here as our guest doing the formal opening. And since that time, this part of the building, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the rest of the building in a moment, has hosted something like 70,000 guests in the past year. Now, that's not enormous, but in terms of our business plan, it's already double what we had planned to do. We'd thought about academic conferences, workshops, but we've been attracting more and more globally facing groups such as yourselves, and it's great to have you back, Matthew. You and I have been talking about this in other conferences for some time now. In the rest of this building, we have around 700 researchers. We also have global companies such as GSK, AstraZeneca, Bayer Healthcare, Rolls-Royce, Boeing, the Weir Group, Fraunhofer, Gesellschaft from Germany. And without boring you too much, we have four of the UK's catapult centres, which are minutes up to about £500 million worth of investment in satellite applications, advanced manufacturing, looking at offshore renewable energy and future cities, as well as three of the Scottish Innovation Centres in digital health, in industrial biotech, and in sensors and imaging systems. In many ways, you're sitting in the tick at the heart of one of Europe's most intense innovation areas. And in fact, at the turn of the year in 2017, the TIC building that you're in, it's the adjacent building in Ovo, the Tontine House, which you know Bridget McConnell knows very well, it was her office for years, and the Merchant City area is going to be classified as Scotland's first innovation district. The context of what the Brookings Institute talks about, this is a real driver for economic growth, social inclusion, and international competitiveness. And this whole corner of the city centre is going to be rocket-fueled over the next couple of years as we attract even more companies in here to join with us. And we are at the early stages of discussions with Scottish Enterprise to build TIC2 and Innovo2 on this site as well. So this whole idea of what I call the triple helix approach to getting things done, public sector, private sector, and the academic community working together on grand challenges. In this space, in TIC, we're looking at future cities, for example, which I know resonates very strongly with the mission of the host cities agenda. I think there may be some tour opportunities through the course of the conference, but a couple of floors up from here, we're bringing in a live feed of 300 data streams from around the city on energy, security, health and transport. We're linked up with an entity called CUSP. Mayor Bloomberg, as was at the time 3 years ago, established the Centre for Urban Sustainability and Progress at New York University. We have a live link up with them, also with Singapore, and subsequent to a visit I'll make to Beijing in February, also to Beijing, where we're sharing data, looking at the beating pulse of the cities, understanding how citizens are engaging through digital connectivity, what this means for infrastructure, what it means for the flow in cities, and the laboratory upstairs is now one of Europe's hubs for using data and urban informatics to try and derive information from all of that. So welcome here. It's great to see you. I've had a look at the programme, some fantastic presentations you've got, some great sessions. It's great to have Craig Greedy back here again. Craig, I'm sure you'll hear this a few times over the next 24 hours, but many congratulations on the announcement over the weekend. It's also good to see some local friends, Bridget McConnell, who was an absolute powerhouse behind the Commonwealth Games. I know legacy is an issue for all of you. Strathclyde's been very close to that in terms of the low-carbon housing, the affordable housing in the east end of Glasgow. We're now looking to extend out of Strathclyde a major district heating and combined heat and power network in Glasgow, providing affordable warmth for our citizens, which will use the Commonwealth Games infrastructure legacy to drive that forward. There's also an enterprise and entrepreneurship centre that we've created at the Olympia building out in the east end of Glasgow, all of which was catalysed by the Commonwealth Games being here. And of course, legacy is a key part of it, but there are many experts in the room that will understand that actually delivery on that is a big challenge, but it's a challenge and a prize that's worthwhile pursuing. Later on this week, on Thursday, and Bridget may make mention of this, the city will announce the new Glasgow Economic Strategy, the next 5 years of commitment to inclusive growth, to high-quality sectoral commitment by Glasgow to bring in the very best in life sciences, low-carbon energy, advanced manufacturing, finance and business services. And I'm delighted to say at the heart of all of this will be our commitment to tourism and events. It keeps Glasgow's doors wide open to the international community to come here, see the very best of what we have to offer, the talent, the warm welcome, the facilities, and the enjoyment of being here in the city. I have the privilege of chairing the Glasgow Economic Leadership Board, which has been supporting this city since the thump that we took in 2008, 2009, as many cities did, in the global downturn. And we've had the fastest rise in city economies across the UK last year, second to none. And we're looking forward to building that momentum. And one area that will accelerate all of that will be the work that Bridget and her team do to get the tourism and events lifting, as it were, the tide that will take our industrial and social inclusion activities along with it. So, without turning this into a credit-bearing lecture, I will simply say it's wonderful to have you here. Matthew, great to have you and the team back. We look forward to seeing you in the future, and good luck for your deliberations over the next few sessions. Thank you very much, and welcome to Glasgow.
Thank you, Jim. I'd like to thank Events Scotland very much, Paul and all the team who we've really enjoyed working with this year. Thank you, Bridget and Ian, very much from Glasgow Life, and also to Aileen and the Glasgow Marketing Bureau, who we've worked very well with again this year. Thank all of our sponsors, our new and our existing sponsors. We love continuity, so welcome back to those who were with us last year. And if I can just take this occasion, I may not have another chance, I'd like to thank my team. I'd like to thank Ben and Tina Adam for all their sterling work that they've done putting together these events. It can be a little bit fiddly. On which note, Ben, would you like to perhaps come up and just quickly talk through what we're going to be discussing today?
Thank you, Matthew. On the subject of sponsors, I'll just put the holding slide up. So thank you, Matthew, Sir Craig, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you all for joining us here at the third and biggest host city conference and exhibition which really is living up to its name as the largest meeting of cities and sports, business and cultural events. We're particularly pleased to see more cities than ever attending Host City from all continents, and we welcome you to Glasgow. We're delighted to have top-level representation from the Summer and Winter Olympic Sports Federations and the IOC. We're equally delighted to have representatives from the world's biggest non-Olympic sports, business and entertainment events here. The theme of this year's Host City Conference, creating safe and engaging events, reflects the concerns of people leading the sector today. The integrity of sport, visitor engagement, digital media and the growth of the Chinese market. These are some of the themes that we'll hear about from our stellar lineup of speakers. We look forward to a day and a half of engaging panel discussions and keynote addresses. And we will all have the opportunity to speak in round tables tomorrow about bidding for and delivering major events. We also encourage you to share your views by completing the short survey that you will have found in your delegate bags. Please do find time to fill this in over the next day and a half, and we're looking forward to producing an exciting piece of research based on your views. I also encourage you to refer to the Host City app for the latest agenda, which also has information about the delegates attending and enables you to link up with one another by messaging. The dinner reception tonight is from 6 to 9pm at Corinthians Club, and which is just around the corner from here. And I'm also pleased to say there'll be more whiskey tasting there tonight for those of you that didn't enjoy Glencoyne last night. Just one thing, I'd like to ask you not to make calls on your mobile phones, if that's okay, but we do encourage you to tweet about the conference, of course, on social media. The hashtag is HostCity2016, and the audio from the conference will be available on audioboom.com immediately after the conference. So thank you all for coming, and let's enjoy the day. Thank you.
Yeah, just to follow that, if we could just make clear, dinner tonight is for everybody, so we do encourage you all to please come to the Corinthian Club, which is the other side of George Square. For those that remember it, it's where we had the whiskey tasting last year. So my final thanks will go again to all of our excellent speakers. We appreciate your contributions very much. Please, can you all be bold? Can you be frank? To the point is always good. And please don't hold back. People are very, very interested to know what you really think. No speaker is more welcome than our first speaker. It's been a serious and complex year, starting pretty much from around the time of last year's Host City in Glasgow. We really do appreciate your support, Sir Craig, especially when there are a few other things going on, and I speak for everybody here. Firstly, to congratulate you, and secondly, to very strongly welcome you back again to Host City, and we are very honoured that you are joining us. I'd like to start Host City by inviting Sir Craig Reedy to give a keynote address.
Ladies and gentlemen, yet again, welcome to Glasgow, or happily, welcome back to Glasgow. Clearly, this city is very happy to host this important conference as it grows in reach and in importance each year. And the rich and varied opportunities for cities which host events can be seen from the whole range of topics that you will discuss over the next 2 days. Now, my own experience is in the field of sporting events and the challenges involved in their specific hosting. However, I do recognise that there is a whole range of events which present opportunities and challenges, all different to their host cities. From a purely sports point of view, the Glasgow experiences make pretty interesting reading. This city has roughly 800,000 people, although the Clyde Valley conurbation is around 2 million, many in close proximity. This is a relatively small population, but the city, in the 8 years from 2012 to 2020, has hosted or will host major events in football, cycling, netball, swimming, athletics, gymnastics, tennis, judo, curling, badminton, golf, rugby, rowing and triathlon, with Paralympic swimming to be added to the list. Some other numbers can be added also to the list of credits. A contribution to the economy of the city of £370 million. an investment in sports facilities since 2009, which totals around £200 million. Attendance figures in 2015 at the sports facilities in Glasgow of 6.4 million people, with 80,000 at the World Gymnastics Championships in the new Hydro Arena, an event which produced the best presentation of indoor sport that I have ever seen. And outside the events themselves, a list of pluses in what might be described as the softer legacies. 20,900 junior members of sports clubs, an increase of 367% since 2009. 4,580 coaches engaged with sports clubs, up 95% since 2009. 4,490 volunteers engaged with sports clubs, up 110% since 2009. Now, the reasons for this boom in sporting activity is not too difficult to find. The 2014 Commonwealth Games were a triumph for the city. Following the success of the 2012 London Olympic Games, they showed just what can be achieved with some good planning of facilities, their legacy, then promotion, enthusiasm, and organisation, to say nothing of the overall benefits to the city to be garnered from worldwide television coverage and exposure and the huge growth in digital media conversation and interest. But not all cities are lucky enough to have the opportunity to organise one of the big multi-sport events. And they can use this as a catalyst for facility development and public interest. Although the 2018 European Sport Championships is an interesting development along the same lines, but with a more modest footprint. For in an ever more competitive field, hosting events, and in particular sports events, is an ever more competitive business. Although there is clearly a mismatch between enthusiasm for what I might call individual events, as opposed to major multi-sport events. The IOC have struggled to attract anything like the number of cities for Olympic Games compared to those years ago when many more put their names forward. And the new bidding rules under Agenda 2020 are hoped to be the antidote required. With the loss of Rome for 2024, the jury on this is still out. The Commonwealth Games Federation are not exactly awash with applicants for future Commonwealth Games, and the Olympic Winter Games bidding process was reduced to two final candidates. The Asian Games appear to be less affected, as the number of large, like 10 million people, large cities in China provide enthusiasm for the bidding process, which rather replaces the efforts made over the years by Korea with almost 30 years of experience. But for individual sporting events, the world is a very, very active place. Auckland in New Zealand is more than active with rugby, of course, cricket, hockey, and sailing to the fore. Smaller countries, Danish cities, all pulled together by the splendid Event Denmark organisation, are keen hosts for handball, sailing, ice hockey, swimming, badminton, cycling, and equestrian events. If you head south to Sydney and Melbourne, offer attractive options for sailing, for surfing, for rugby, tennis and Formula One, and lots of others. Australia will also hold the 2018 Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast, with mutterings of a possible future Brisbane Olympic bid. In golf, there is much enhanced interest in continental Europe, with future Ryder Cups in France and Italy, and the new developments in Antalya in Turkey, offering a whole range of new and impressive sports facilities, will inevitably lead to hosting opportunities. However, your agenda for the next 2 days throws up a whole series of issues which will apply to almost any event held by and promoted by a host city. The first panel will deal with the future. I hope they decide there is one, otherwise we can all have a coffee and go home. You're going to look at brand creation and use Chinese experience as a model. and at new concepts involving multi-city and multi-sports events, and at the security issues involved, the visitor experience, the infrastructure required, business events, and their economic impact. But returning to the sports theme, it would be wrong of me not to mention the challenges you will discuss on the integrity of sport. Sport has gone through and still goes through a difficult period due to clear abuses of the standards on doping matters. These have brought extreme challenges to sport, to its major events, its major federations, and has encouraged huge media comment, very little of it favourable. Issues of governance of sport and criticism of how it selects its host cities has added fuel to the fire. However, I was recently in Tokyo, host city for the 2020 Olympic Games, and I am encouraged by the enthusiasm and excitement in both city and country at the prospect of hosting the Games in 2020. Despite the inevitable arguments about possible venue changes and money, subjects that are endemic in any Olympic city and its organising committee, the Japanese ability to seek long-term legacies which are relevant to their society and provide opportunities to showcase their own innovative technologies offer the Olympic movement a real opportunity to change the scepticism which appears to exist and which elicits much comment. And this I find to be really exciting and may well be a force for greatly increased enthusiasm for Olympic and other multi-sport events. And if the Tokyo experience is proved to work, there must be a chance of a distinct ongoing effect in many other similar events. So with this rather enthusiastic view of the future, I leave you to your debates, to the new ideas that will be generated, to the new friendships and experiences that are the mark of a good conference, and to a really happy visit to Glasgow, which is the whole point of being a welcoming host city. Thank you very much.